this was part of the war on drugs. And the idea was that, you know, sometimes bad guys are, you know, using stuff to do their bad things. They might be drug dealers. They might be terrorists, you know, something like that. And sometimes they can be difficult to convict. But even if we can't convict them, at least we can go and take their stuff and make it harder to for them to commit future crimes. And that the mechanism that the legislature came up with was, in these civil forfeiture cases, the defendant isn't a human being. The defendant is a house. The defendant is a car. The defendant may be $1,462.92 in cash that the authorities are going after. And so that was a way to sort of get at, you know, the fruits and the mechanisms of these crimes, even when you wouldn't necessarily be able to hold a human being responsible for the crimes that they're supposed to be part of. So, you know, over time, civil libertarians looked at this and said, look, there's a lot wrong with this, but not the least of it being is sometimes people who are not guilty of anything are still losing assets because somehow they're associated with a criminal activity or a suspected criminal activity.
What does this legislation do then to go after that issue?
Well, it doesn't really change the fact that authorities can go after people without charging or convicting them, which is what a lot of advocates would really like to see eventually happen. But it does a couple of things. One is it does make it easier. It lowers the legal threshold that people who have not been charged or convicted of anything have to reach in order to get their assets back that have been seized and forfeited. And then the other thing is there's a transparency element that police agencies have to share a lot more information as to exactly how much they're basically making off of asset forfeiture.
So does that mean that right now, do we really know how much money police in Michigan make off of forfeiture?
No, not everywhere. We don't. And so the idea is that, you know, police agencies, that there will be a level of responsibility that will be achieved if they have to say, you know, here's how much we take in and here's what we use it for. And, you know, police agencies, you know, use it very often for things like SWAT vans, even, you know, helicopters and the military vehicles that you know, we've heard so much about in recent months, that those are the sorts of expenses that police departments will use the fruits of a forfeiture for.
These bills pass through Lansing pretty easily.
The unanimous votes in the House and the Senate. Yeah, that there's definitely consensus.
Yeah, you can't get any more support than that.
Well, it's one of those things where very conservative, libertarian-minded lawmakers and even, you know, very liberal, reform-minded lawmakers were able to, you know, come together because they all agreed that there was an injustice at play here.
Do you think that this reform legislation kind of shows that we're at a different place than where we were at the sort of the heart of the war on drugs?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, right now in Lansing and across the country, that we're undergoing a pretty dramatic transformation in how we approach criminal justice. You know, it's being called the transition from the tough on crime era to the smart on crime era. And while there was wide agreement on civil forfeiture and this particular step, there's not wide agreement on what the next step in civil forfeiture ought to be, which some advocates are saying should be that you shouldn't be allowed to, you know, permanently seize someone's property unless they've actually been convicted of something. But then, you know, there's also juvenile justice reforms, you know, from the mid-1990s when Governor John Engler proposed adult time for adult crime. You know, he said, no more slaps on the wrist, no more excuses. You know, if you commit an adult crime, you're going to prison. You know, a bipartisan group of lawmakers just proposed a package to overhaul that system. And when we charge teenagers as adults, as adults and what we do with them, you know, if they've been convicted. So those are the discussions that we're seeing as, you know, Lansing and like I said, really the rest of the country rethink how we approach prosecution and incarceration.
Rick Pluta is Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Thanks for being here.
Oh, David, always a pleasure.
And you're listening to Morning Edition on IPR News.